Dear friends, a lot of people want change for something better in life. Not enough people are willing to make change themselves. That's what Leo Tolstoy wrote many years ago. A lot of people want change for something better. Not enough people are willing to make change ourselves. There was a doctor who said to a patient, "You are not a healthy man, sir. Your blood pressure is through the roof. You've got to make some real changes in your life. Eat healthier. Start exercising. Stop working such long hours. Find time to unwind and relax, because unless there are some changes like that in your life, you could be gone within a month." "Doctor," the patient said, "that's tough news, and I'll try, but I don't know how to break this to my wife. Could you call her, tell her how important it is for me to make these changes? It would sound more official coming from you if you gave these exact same instructions." So when the man got home, he asked his wife, "Did the doctor call?" "Yes," she said. "You've only got 30 days to live." A lot of people want change for something better. Not enough people are willing to make change ourselves. Today, our scripture passages remind us that the church is, or at least should be, a place of change. In recent weeks, we've talked about how the church is a place to belong, where we can be reminded that we belong to God, and where we can hopefully find a sense of belonging with each other. Last week, how the church is a place to believe, where we can place our trust in God for all things and find trustworthy people to lean on as well. And this week, the church is a place, or at least ought to be, a place to become, where we ought to expect change within ourselves, within our community, within and around the world. And our first thought might be just that: change in the church? The world keeps changing, but the church, isn't there that big word about God called immutable, which means that God is unchanging? Shouldn't the church in this world of change be that last bastion against change? Well, first of all, even if God is immutable, that doesn't mean the church is. And second, just because one very old hymn puts change and decay in the same sentence doesn't mean those are synonyms, right? It's the beginning of October, that month when Protestant churches should be reminded that we are in constant need of reformation, or what people like John Knox and John Calvin said in Latin, semper reformanda. But let's not be led only by religious slogans or modern mantras. Let's allow the New Testament images we were invited to see from 1 Peter 2. Let's let those images be our guide. Three of them, actually: living stones, a spiritual house, and a holy priesthood. Before Jesus' suffering and death, he had given a new name to Simon: Petros. Peter, meaning rock or stone. And here in this letter, later on in his life, Peter recalls that time where Jesus had said that upon this rock he would build the church. And throughout history, there have been different interpretations of what Jesus says to or about Simon Peter here. Some have suggested, as many of us might know, that this means Peter is the founding father of the church and all that goes with that. And you know also how that goes beyond just Peter. When you have some foundational or charter members, what they say goes. It kind of then binds the organization. But there's another interpretation. And it's actually backed up by Peter himself in his own letter here when he writes, "You are living stones." Peter doesn't speak of a foundational stone, though it's not him. He does speak of a foundational stone, though it's not him, it's Jesus. And he suggests to the early church that you are, around that foundational stone called Christ, you are all living stones, shaped and formed and laid upon the foundational rock of Jesus. Peter himself never suggests that he is so much the founding father of the church as his confession about Jesus in response to Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." To which Jesus does respond, "You upon this rock I will build my church," Jesus says. And here Jesus doesn't say Petros, but he says Petra, the feminine form of the noun rock, which can also mean testimony, affirmation of faith, leap of faith. So when Peter says that we are living stones, it can suggest that we are like stones constantly being chipped, hewn, shaped. We are becoming who God calls us to be in our generation and in our time. The church by design is not meant to be tied down by its past, but to be living stones, shaped and fashioned in each and every new generation. And second, it's a spiritual house. And the word here for house is oikos, related to our word for economy or economics. That's what a home was called in the ancient world, the most simple or basic economic unit, like an echo or ecosystem. The home was a place where food and supplies would stream through. We still hear the term sometimes, home economics, which quite literally means home stuff. The church is called to be a spiritual home, a spiritual ecosystem, the most basic place where spiritual food and supplies are available for everyone. It's always a challenge for the church to be reminded of this, and rather than become a complicated labyrinth of programs and systems of regulations and procedures, instead, doing its best to always simplify and refine to become again a basic spiritual house, an ecosystem where God's Spirit is alive. And we see evidence of people entering into that ecosystem, some who are tired, who are weary, who are anxious, or burdened. And by entering into that ecosystem, over time, sometimes quickly, sometimes months, become filled with life and vitality again. That's the picture of the church that Peter holds up for us, a spiritual house, an ecosystem. Two weekends from now, as I mentioned at the beginning of this service, between 30 and 40 people from Knox are meeting for a session-hosted retreat to talk about how we might need to change, to become more like this image of a spiritual house. And when change needs to happen, it can't just be, we all know this, it can't just be going back to the old days. Even though some political slogans speak of making things great again, most people know in the church that we can't simply recreate a past. We are called to incarnate the gospel, to be a spiritual ecosystem in today's culture and in this world. And finally, we're called to be a holy priesthood. More religious words worthy of explanation. Holy, of course, means it doesn't mean better than others. Holy means set apart. So we might be tempted to infer that this means that the church even gets a pass to be on its own from the cares of the world, that we're set apart from the world, but not so fast. Holy does not mean set apart as better than others. It means set apart to make a difference in this world. And the difference is in the way in which we are priests. We're holy priesthood. The whole church is a holy priesthood, Peter says. And here it's important to remember the role of the Old Testament priests. They were the ones who offered sacrifices so that the people could become right with God again. Aha. What does the church do? What ought the church do today? To sacrifice so that more people can get right with God again. Now that's a big question. And at least part of an answer comes from our Old Testament reading this morning, where God's people are called to seek the welfare of the city in which they are living. That was a powerful image, wasn't it, in Jeremiah? Seeking the welfare of the city where we live. Last week, I referenced an article in this periodical called the Ottawa Magazine, mentioning the halo effect of churches and how the author implies healthy churches have a positive effect on their city, especially in the urban center of our capital. I'd encourage you, if you haven't already, to find this article and to read it. It's practically an invitation. It's even a pleading. Dare I say, it's a prayer for the church to become everything God means for us to be in this city, to seek its welfare. And I dare say, too, as much as I think Knox and other congregations, both historic and newer churches, are making a difference, we are always in need of reformation in how we seek the welfare of the city that God has placed us in, how we are a holy priesthood, helping others to draw closer to God again. Each of these three images, a holy priesthood, a spiritual house, and living stones, reminds us as the church that we are a place in continual need for change, for reformation. God wants us here at Knox and every church in Ottawa to have a halo effect on this city, to be a healthy spiritual ecosystem, to be shaped as living stones upon the sure foundation of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our risen Lord. Amen.